Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm a music major.
And just wanted to play some music. We don't own the right to the song, but we wanted to finish up playing, and we're going to get started with our show tonight. Title of our show is How Will Sports Be When We Enter Into the New Normalcy? And that's something we're asking ourselves. What exactly is going to be happening in the future? We don't know how the world is going to change, but continue listening on to this. We don't own the rights to it, but we want you to hear it out. I'm going to tell you, man, it's a blessing to be here. This is Wacky Wednesday. Again, I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. Trying to get them words out at this time. The host of Talking Sports Plus. We're at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I appreciate those individuals that's also already on the line, ready to get started with our show tonight. We're really excited. Our call-in number, if you want to call in, because we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we're on Blog Talk Radio. But on Blog Talk Radio, if you want to call in and share your thoughts, the number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link or the internet and check us out, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. You also have an opportunity if you want to tweet the show. You know, people always say, we're on every media outlet we can be on, every kind of social media outlet we're on, in Blog Talk Radio at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza B. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, at Coach underscore L underscore Smith. So we're ready to make this thing do what it needs to do. Let's keep in mind, as he says, Wacky Wednesday. There's no negative thing intent when we say that. It's positive. It's wacky. Things are happening. We know with the coronavirus and COVID-19, and we want you to continue to pray because we have to, because that's what it's all about. It's about sending those prayers up so God can begin to send a blessing down. We want this to end as soon as possible, but we have to be able to be in a position and be ready to do the things we need to do. God prepares us in many ways. And if you're not ready, then we'll go through some challenging times like we're doing right now. But you know what? It's, you know, we'll just pull together. Now, one of the most important things, I want to give some shout outs to some people, but I want to tell you, get on the phone, call a relative, call your parents, call your grandparents, call your children, call your extended family members, your immediate family members, and just tell them you love them. It's challenging times. This is COVID-19. Now, looking at the numbers up in New York City, within 24 hours, over 752 people have died in regards to COVID-19, or coronavirus. That's 24 hours. And it's been like that, but it's sort of like blunting off a little bit because it was 758, then it went up to 767 somewhere, then it dropped back down to 750. In that area, so it's kind of tapering off at a spot, but that don't mean that everything's okay. It is important that you understand. Only go out if you need essential items. Go out when you have to go to the grocery store and have to get something. You have to go get your medicine. Make sure you're not out just riding around and trying to see what's going on. If it's non-essential, don't go out. Wear your mask when you go out. Wear your mask when you go out. I know, as a matter of fact, if I'm thinking correctly, I heard this on the news. Someone's correct. In New York, people have to, anybody should go out there to have their mask on. Massachusetts, they have to have the mask on. So put your mask on. Put your mask on. Put your gloves on. Make sure you sanitize yourself. Make sure you wash your hands. If you go out and wash them, you know, like I said, for about 20 seconds. You go backward and forward with some kind of soap or something, antibacterial soap that you can clean your hand up. Make sure that. But don't be doing the thing when you're feeling bored enough. And we're going to have a show on this on Tuesday night talking about mental health in regards to the coronavirus. You want to go and have a party and invite 10 or 12 people over. If they're not your immediate family, try to not invite people over to your home to have whatever you call, because you don't know who has it, who has contracted, who's carried it as a carrier, but you bring it to your house, and that means whoever's there in your family, in your home, going to be, you know, an opportunity for it to spread among them. And then they said one person can affect 457, and everybody said, well, those number people just said, well, you know, look at the numbers. It ain't no joke. So don't think it's a joke. Let's be for real. Now, what we want to do is give a shout-out. I had to give that and let you know that we care about you. We want you to be around in 2021 and later part of 2020 and be a part of the Talking Sports Plus, be a part of all our shows with the Smith Way Production. We want you to be a part of it. But we must take care of ourselves and take care of our family. Tell them again you love them. Tell every one of your family members, I love you. And if not, you know someone, one of your friends, your frat brothers, your sorors, or whoever it may be, your Mason brothers, or your Eastern Star, or just your friends at work, call them and tell them, man, I love you, man. I miss you, man. And, you know, young lady, you know, I miss you. You know, sister and brother, I love you. Tell them. Don't be afraid to tell them. Because they can't do nothing about it, because that's the way you feel, but it will make them feel better. All right, we're going to make sure we shout out for the first responders. We got to, they're working extremely hard to do the best job they can do. For the respiratory therapists, we're going to give a shout out for them, because they want to deal with the ventilation. That's the person you got to make sure that's in line, because if you go into respiratory distress, you have about 10 minutes of life. because if you can't breathe, it put pressure on your heart. It do a lot of things to you. So make sure we give a shout out to the doctor, to the nurses, all the health staff that's working hours after hours, sometimes 12, 14, 16 hours to save lives. That's what we want to make sure you give them a shout. Give them a shout out. Don't be afraid to do that, because that's what it's all about. Give them a shout out and let them know what's going on. Your fire medics, your paramedics, your law enforcement, give them a shout out. And just tell them when you get a chance, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, because you're essential for survival. Also, make sure you take time to shout out your mental health workers, because we're in some challenging times. You know, we mentally are not used to be confined or being so afraid to go out, because we don't know what this virus can do to us. So mental health is important. Give a shout out to those licensed clinical social workers. Shout them out. Make sure you do that for all those grocery people in the supermarkets that's working, and make sure to keep the shelf filled, stocked with all the things you need essential to survive. Give them a shout out when you see them. Tell them thank you. And it's not last but least, I can shout out a lot of people as I get ready to get the show started. Is but one particular group I want to give a shout out, and I can't forget that because I retired doing this. Educators, teachers. Give them a shout out, because they're just like we're going through changes here, just basically our life. They have to change the things they used to do and move toward a online education. And it is a challenge if you've never had an opportunity to teach online or be able to take classes online. So it's a challenge for the children. It's a challenge for the parents. It's a challenge for the teachers, the community. It's a challenge for everybody. Some people just don't have internet in their home. A lot of people come in with some awesome ideas. We'll give a shout out to these innovative ideas and make sure we get it into the home so our young people can continue to learn, continue to be able to stay ahead of the curve so they can be successful. So those people who want to shout, this is Wacky Wednesday, Hump Day, as we're known. I want to make sure I always give a shout out to those co-hosts that have joined me. But to make sure we do all the house cleaning, that's what we call as an educator, we're going to make sure we get the 10 minutes of all these things out of the way, and at the end, the last 10 minutes as well. We want to make sure you know that we're being broadcast on three networks at this time. We're on Blog Talk Radio. I gave you the telephone number, but I'll do it again, 347-857-4192. Other web link, www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production. Also, we're on Instagram, and that follows up on Lorenza D. Smith. Check us out on that, as well as Twitter or Periscope. We're on that as well. Let me back it up. That's Instagram. As I said, that's actually Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. And then on Facebook, we're being broadcast on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. And I appreciate everybody that's beginning to join us, you know, over, say, on Instagram. We have Angier Rollins, MBA, Master of Business Administration. Thank you, Angier, for joining us. I am underscore Alicia Ann. Thank you for joining us as well. I'm going to give you a wave. Now I'm going to give other folks shout-outs, too, on Facebook as well. Thank you for joining us. But we're going to have an awesome show tonight, and we'll do it throughout the show. And once I share those individuals that are going to be part of the team tonight, when they join us, they'll call in and they'll be a part of it, on how will sports be when we enter into the new normalcy. And you just think about it. It's going to be a change. We got to think about it. It's going to be major. Sometimes we just don't want to go out. And we're going to maybe playing sports without fans. We'll just see it on television. That's going to be something in the fall that people have to get used to. A lot of things are going to change. So just kind of, it's the new normalcy is going to be a different from what you used to do. When you go out, when you don't want them to be large crowds, it's going to be kind of bother you. So we're going to talk about some topics tonight that apply to how we may enter into the new normalcy and so on. All right, my team consists of some awesome people. The co-hosts the co-host of this show. I want to give him a shout out. Start off with team member out of Central Alabama. He retired as the athletic high school athletic association associate executive director. Also, my frat brother, member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, none other than Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. He's our resident high school expert. He's going to call in about 8:30 and share some things that's going on, because we're going to be talking about some high school topics tonight. Also, Hales from the northern part of the state, up in Meridianville, and works in the Huntsville schools, city school system. He's known to us the King. We gave him that name because he was on top of it. He's the king of prediction, king of making sure all the information was right. None other than my nephew, Coach Tremaine, the King Edwards, head coach of basketball for boys and girls at Chapman Middle School in Huntsville, Alabama. Hills as far south as the coast. He's our radio personality. So proud to have this young man with us. He comes in from time to time, but he's listened to the show because he's that person that's working with me, myself being a producer, making sure we get these things cleaned up and make sure we get it. When we have difficulties in connection, he's always there making sure he's there to let us know what we need to do. He's called the Dunn King of all things. He hails from South Alabama, off Alabama. He travels up to Montgomery, over to Troy, then down to Dothan, then back to off. None other than our radio personality, Daryl E. Train. He's the conductor, Elliot. So he'll be joining us as well. We have the lady of the hour, our young millennial. So glad to have her, because we have two of them, have her coming hard, coming strong. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith, my daughter. So proud to have her. Now I want to give a shout out. I said I shouted out for Brother Dow. I want to shout out to Brother Tony Stallworth as well. He's a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity as well. Thank you so much as well. We want to give a shout out for Lauren. He's a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Then we have, I won't say last but not least, another millennium. And we want to give him a shout out. Young man that comes in helping out as an expert, none other than Cameron, Coach Cameron Gilmer. So those are the individuals that join in. You have their Twitter account. If you want to get touch two or three of them, you can tweet them. That's at Daryl Elliot. At Elliot Daryl number one, at Tremaine Edwards number seven, at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith. You can tweet them as well as tweet the show. So we're gonna have an awesome show. How will sports be when we enter into the new normalcy? Some people asking the question, we'd be glad when this is over with. No, let's try to live through it right now. That's what we're going to make the greatest effort. This is Wacky Wednesday, hump day. I know we all been sitting at home. Some of us been working from home, and it just got us going crazy. But just remember, spending more time with your family, spending more time with your those individuals you consider to be as close as possible. Sometime by video, Zoom, whatever it may be, you can see your friends and y'all can talk back and forth, but don't invite them over to have a little party, because we need to be isolated. We need to isolate this thing, and then we need to quarantine ourselves, make sure we are quarantined. So that's what it's all about. So we appreciate each and every one of those individuals that join us, but make sure you tell your family and your family members you love them. How do we return to the new norm? See, we have several topics relating to that. So, again, I'm excited about the topics we have. We're going to start off with our coach's corner. And as soon as my team, the interview is able to call in, and hopefully they call in within minutes and they can share some thoughts on this, we want to discuss the 2020 mock NFL draft. You keep seeing, especially on your news channels or sports channels, talking about the draft coming up and how the top 10 will have an opportunity to change, or how the top 10 will possibly stay the same. So far, and I won't try to call out all those individuals, but we'll start off with Joe Burrow being possibly the number one pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. You've also at number two, Chase Young and Joe Burrow's out of LSU. Chase Young is out of Ohio State. He would possibly be the number two pick. And there's a toss-up to see, and the discussion is who's going to be number three. There's been some talk about Tua Tagovailoa being number three. There's been talk by Jeff Okuda being number three. Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State and Tua out of University of Alabama. And those individuals, and they kind of flip-flop. They don't know exactly which way, you know. Then they got Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. You have several players falling at five. You also have some talk about the young man out of Oregon over there. He Justin Herbert have an opportunity to push his way up there to the top five spot. You have Jordan Love have an opportunity. Utah is pushing himself up to the top. So you have all these happening in the top 10, but the top five is where all the challenge is going to be. So we're going to look and see what kind of changes occur. As I mentioned, we don't know, but on the 23rd, you will get an opportunity, which will be next Thursday. You will get an opportunity to see the draft will be taken. They'll do virtual, they'll go Zoom, or they'll go however they connection, but I think it's about 52 players been invited to be a part of that by video or by virtual, and they'll be able to see when a name called. They're going to flash back in and see exactly how those people are doing, how they respond, instead of them being actually there in Vegas in regards to that. All right, we also want to touch on the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the topics we had in relation to the Dallas Cowboys is should the Dallas Cowboys consider trading Dak Prescott? I want your opinion, and I know you have some thought on it. The call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll actually give the name and location if you choose to, and then offer your comments and questions and whatever your expertise about any of these topics you talk about. Let me give a shout-out to those people that are already on Facebook that's joining us. I want to make sure I give them a early shout out. Shout out to Kimberly Denise Chillis. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I'm giving her a shout out. My good fat brother and friend out of the Great Lake region, none other than Brother Winston K. Bingo O'Neill out of the state of Michigan. And so glad to have Bingo on. He's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Pretty Max Fadden. Pretty, we got you. We'll give a shout out to you. Terry Melodramatic Robinson, she's joining us as well. Yvette Smith, my youngest sister, biological sister, Yvette, and another one of my youngest sisters, Jennifer Edwards, is joining us as well. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Yvette. And last, so far as the number as it began to run across the stream, Dana Bowser, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Mamacita, I'm going to say it. And she did Zoom of Mamacita. So we're going to say that to her. She's out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Dana, for joining us as well. All right, let's get back to our topics. We're going to have an awesome time tonight. We're talking about Dak Prescott, and the question came about. And I know there's another sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority joining us, and that's Kim Ramsey. Thank you, my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We want to get back to Dak Prescott. You have Dak possibly dealing with this exclusive franchise tag. He hadn't signed it, so they had no negotiation. They're stuck between some numbers, and they can't make a decision, but you know, it happens about July to make a decision. But one of the questions came up, and it was stated, should the Dallas Cowboys decide to maybe consider trading that? Because some people say when the draft comes next week, that could be a possibility to manipulate some things and move up and get one of those quarterbacks they feel like can fit in, the Justin Herbert, possibility with Jordan Love, to be able to move up and they can make that move. Some people don't agree. It's all the things Dak has done until what he did the other day in regards to that so-called party he had, dinner party that he had. The other day, and inviting, you know, he said it was less than 10 people. Okay, whatever you say, because I from just a screenshot that was taken, TMZ had. Somebody there sent it to TMZ. Think about it now. Sent it to TMZ. There was at least seven people inside of that frame, including Zeke as well. So my thing is, come on, let's keep it real. Like I was reading his statement, and he said that people was not correct. It was quoted wrong, saying that it wasn't more than 10 members. But you got to remember, when they stated when you ISO, you should only have in a gathering, it's going to be your family members. That's the ideal of the staying away from coronavirus, because we know our family members can bring in, but we can identify where it is. But when you got 9 to 10 people, which I believe was more, that's too much food. That was a layout of food, and only 10 people eating that food. Come on now, we know you're not being, you know, being straight up. And the best thing you could have said that, we I'm still understanding this, and I made a mistake and move forward. Now these kind of things that we're gonna go back to whether or not Dallas don't want to pay him, don't want to pay the $38 million he's asking for. They want to pay more like $33, $34 million, and this is something to give them an opportunity to look at, because they have into that, to that deal with that tenant into July, so they can do that. So should he be traded or not? Some people may believe that he should be going traded, and if you can't come to the numbers, find you another quarterback to come in there that with that offensive line that the Dallas Cowboys have, with that running back and Zeke, and the receivers that they have, outstanding quarterback that can do and not turn the ball over a lot, can do the same thing or do more. It's just that. It is what it is. Some people may not like it. I want to give a shout-out to Deborah E. Hutchinson. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Then my frat brother, Brian Steele. I want to make sure I give a shout-out to him. I'm through Governor Baylor at Alabama State University. Thank you, Brian, for joining us. I mentioned Kim Ramsey, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I might be repeating a couple of them, but that's all right. I'm just enjoying having y'all on. So if I do it twice, do not blame it on my heart, blame it on my mind. I just want to make sure I recognize everybody. So that's my belief on that. They should trade him. There's a good chance they can trade it, bring in another a quarterback that Mike can get behind that same line and produce. It may get them, help them be better than 8-8. They was only 8-8. And again, as my sorry, I said that, he should be ashamed of himself. He want to have a party. Have a party with your family in the house. Don't bring anybody. If I want to go back to that, because she wrote it. She said whatever set the example, And she agreed. You can't bring it in. You can't set an example. You want to talk about making millions and millions of dollars, and you're not able to show the example. Yeah, you may be doing pretty good, but this is a stance that we're dealing with a big challenge now. This ain't no joke, people. Coronavirus, COVID-19, not a joke. And if you think it is, you might not be around long enough. We close a lot of non-essential places that we frequent at a race of people. For example, barbershops, beauticians, beauty shops, nail salons. We like to look good. But those kind of places have to be closed. So the only place, and someone sent me to let me know, a good friend of mine said, if you're concerned about your hair, if you can't do your own hair, if you're concerned about your nails, your feet, concerned about all these things, massages and all that stuff, there's a place. And we don't want to be hard, but you got to be real at this time, because there's no joke. There's a particular person that can do all those things. I have somebody come in that's a mortician. And with this, the coronavirus, it ain't a joke. So keep that in mind. So he didn't set a good example. And I'm not saying trade him because of that, because if you're bumping the head like you are, there's going to be a problem somewhere down the line. If you get that long-term contract, there's going to be another situation in a couple of years. So my person, trade and bring your quarterback in, you probably can win more than 8 games, Dallas Cowboys fans, more than 8 games. Some people might not like it, but it is what it is. All right, let's move forward and look at the NCAA, and they granted a waiver. They granted a waiver for all spring sports athletes. They will receive an extra year of eligibility at zero cost. because of coronavirus, they lost their senior year. This only applies to seniors now. It don't apply to a freshman who get additional year. It just applies to seniors because you have 5 to do 4. So in essence, that's one of those situations we have to ask ourselves is, you know, it's a good, I think it was a great opportunity for the NCAA to get ahead of the curve. And it did something to help student athletes because it's always trying to help themselves. Now it's helping student athletes at a zero cost. The maneuver on your campus will be a challenge, but you can do that as a baseball coach. Now, the spring sport consists of baseball, basketball. Get that out there because they said no to that. Softball, outdoor track. Track and field. And then you also have tennis and you have golf. All of them have an opportunity to be functioning this time of year, and they won't get an opportunity. If you're a senior, if you want to come back for an additional year, even if you graduate, you can come back because you can go to grad school and pay your additional year. So that's awesome right there. Now, the question is that it's more of a statement because some conferences is not allowing the waiver to go into effect. The Ivy League said no. Now, y'all do understand how the Ivy League works. The Ivy League don't have scholarships, athletic scholarships. So the question is, and they said, why? That would be another major cost on that player, and most of them are going to graduate anyway. And when they leave our university, their Ivy League school, they're going to have to top the line degree in their eyes anyway. So the bottom line is they said no. Also, I think Nebraska, one of the schools, University of Nebraska, maybe, I want to make sure I get it right, they also said no as well, even though they're part of the Big 12, and they said no. But that's the information that I received in regards to that. Some other conferences are going to look at it and see whether they want to waiver it for those senior athletes. But for basketball players, because you didn't get a chance to play in the NCAA March Madness, you will not receive additional year. No extra year because you have played a full year of basketball. Think about it now. We was talking about postseason play. If you're talking about, for example, a lot of the coronavirus and the stoppage of play came when the tournament started. For example, I'll take the Southwest Athletic Conference. That's the SWAC. Their tournament started. They actually had games played on Monday and Tuesday, and they came back and was going to play the rest of the game on Friday and Saturday. But Monday and Tuesday, only 8 teams out of the 10 teams participated in it. So two other teams had put their uniforms in the mothball anyway. So their season's over. So your season is over. It's over with. So don't worry about it. Move on to the next level where you're going to move. So that's something we want to keep in mind. So I do agree with allowing those spring sports to have that additional year, that extra year, those seniors now. Only seniors. Now, just keep that in mind. Only seniors. We'll be able to get additional year. But I disagree with some conferences saying, no, I think everybody should have the same opportunity. But the opportunity was given. It was the conference that made the decision. The Ivy League conference made that decision. A school in Nebraska, the University of Nebraska, said no, and others may take that same approach. It's going to be up to the school whether they want to grant it, even though the NCAA can't be made to do that. So that's something. So I agree with having that extra year, but I disagree with those conferences not letting them have it. But because now I have a question on here, and Sarah Ramsey have on here, what about the XFL? You remember they were playing football and everything? One of the things about it's all about finance. First of all, this is the first year of the XFL anyway. And I'm jumping on that subject because she is typing in, and I appreciate it. And it was the first year. They were playing some decent football, some good. They had some new rules, some rule changes. But unfortunately, the finance is the biggest problem with the XFL. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's the whole league. And, I want to give a shout-out to your son for being able to be a part of the XFL. And I'm proud of him. And you know how I feel about him because he's at Alabama State. And I was always there to support him on the Quran. So he's losing that opportunity. But, you know, keep on grinding. I know he has a mission. And I understand he was in grad school as well and done well He done very well in grad school, and also got an opportunity to be a part of that. So, yeah, that's the biggest problem with it. XFL, which is not being able to have the finance. You know, now she said the CFL, that's Canada, that's a Canadian football. So, you know, that's everything seems to be on hold, but we know the Canadian football been into existence for many, many years. So we know they, even though we go through this, they will be able to revamp what they're going to do, and they'll be able to participate coming up like they normally do. If I think they kind of start summer somewhere and go into close to fall. So she said, Ron signed with the CFL. So we're so glad to have him there. I would say that XFL, he's with the CFL. Congratulations. That's great, Karan. And you keep on grinding like you're doing. And mom is here, fully supporting, as well as dad as well. And as well as the individuals that know. And like I said, I give a shout out to him because I did it through my show when he was playing at Alabama State University. Thank you so much. All right, let's move forth and look at another topic. Should the NBA season be canceled? Now, the NBA season, should it be canceled? That's one of the things we want to talk about, the NBA. Should it be canceled? Now, one of the things they're running into, it's about time. Yes, it's April. They had about 20 more games to go leading up into before they got in time for the playoffs. It was stopped with 20 more games to go, 19 for some team. At this point, the quickest they need to get back and being able to play, whatever the plan may be, so they won't run too deep into the fall, is to try to make sure they're on the floor by no later than late May or June. But we can't say that. I want y'all to keep in mind, I'm being optimistic about that. But the truth of the matter, as long as COVID-19 is here and these numbers are there, we do not have a vaccine for it, we're not able to test everybody in the country, we're going to have a new normalcy. Sports won't be the same, regardless of where you are. I know they're in Korea, their professional league is playing games. However, they have no fans. So how are we going to live like that with no fans sitting up and stand? You know, it may help us a lot because a lot of money we can save, but that also hurt the special college level teams, the money that the fans did bring to the city. I always say put your meat in the seat. If you're going to shout and celebrate the meat, put your meat, I mean your body in the seat. So that's one of the things we're looking at. So it's a good chance if it's not played and getting started up, the end of May and the 1st of June, we're going to run into a problem. And then again, you think about those players haven't played since March together. It's you know, what you going to do? Are you going to play 10 or 15 games, practice game, exhibition game before you start moving towards your playoff? Just to get it paid, because there's some money that's going to be lost because they had to play TV revenue, they had to play at least 70 games to get the full TV revenue. Let's keep that in mind. So they hadn't played right at 60. That's the number that we're dealing with now, 60 games they're playing with. So that's something we're going to look at NBA. I'm not getting to the NFL yet because that was one of the questions. I kind of backed off that question because we got a couple of months before we get to looking at the NFL, NCAA, high school, and middle school football, whether they'll be able to play it. So that's a decision, and you'll know by that time whether or not, but they're not going to cancel it today. Right now, they're going to wait until probably the 1st of June to see if they can play games without, if they can get enough tests. And, you know, that's a backlash with that because the first thing people say, well, we don't have tests for people who actually then have the symptoms, and now you want to just take $1 million babies, players, and let them get tests. Now the rich keep getting richer, and we are out here still suffering. So that's another challenge you have, but there's a lot of talk. I've been listening to the news today, and I watch as much as everybody else, try to get some understanding of coronavirus, to make sure I get an understanding of COVID-19, and they're talking about for us to get somewhere close to normal, it's going to be at least a year, because even if we open the economy back up and get started, we're still going to have this point where persons who may have had it may have it again. Those people can become to the point carriers or be around somebody carrying. People that not, we can't test everybody, so you don't know who's a carrier, who's not a carrier. So that's going to look at a possibility of creating a situation. If they play the rest of the season and at least 10 games the rest of the season in the championship, and the, you know, the playoff in the championship, then by, if they can get it done by starting June and get over to July, maybe August, they got a chance. Or they don't, they won't be, they're going to have a big challenge, so it could be canceled. All right, we're going to look at Clemson. Clemson has been identified as their early favorite. We're talking about some NCAA football. We're talking some football now. We're putting a lot of things in the coach's corner. They're favored to dominate the ACC again. Trevor Lawrence is expected to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Also nipping at his rear end will be Justin Fields out of Ohio State. So, yes, they are. They're going to dominate the ACC. Are they going to win the national championship? I will not say they'll really be able to do that. And the reason I say that is because you got out of Vegas some awesome teams to win it. You have Clemson. You have the University of Alabama. You have Georgia mixed in there. You have Ohio State. They're sort of like the top four. Oregon is working its way in there. You got several others in that top five and six can win this national championship. So we won't say they're going to be the favorite to win the national championship. Some odds may say, but some odds has Alabama to win it. And some odds have Ohio State to win it. So that's a toss-up because that was the second part. What other teams are favored to win it? And we said Alabama. We said Ohio State. We said Georgia, even though they're not returning a quarterback. Alabama's quarterback that failed in the end of the year. Justin Fields is returning for his third year of college. And then you have Trevor Lawrence. So those four teams seem to be the ones that may be favored. Then you add Oregon in there. You add Florida in there. You add LSU in there. You kind of add those in. And that's one of the questions some people have is, do you think LSU repeat? I think not. It's hard to win in that western part of the SEC anyway, and then you still got to deal with the Auburns, the Alabama, and you, then you go there and you got to play Florida. Oh, no, Chip fell in place for them this year. And I'm looking at one of my frat brothers, looking at Brian here. Brian Steele is saying continue with postponement. And he said now it is not a good time to even talk about it. No, it's not. And what I mean about starting the season up right now. So it'll be a while from now. So if they do it by June, they got a chance. June 1st, they got a chance. All right, let's move to, as we was talking about, being favored. We mentioned those teams. You can book them down. You can select them. That might be in their final four, and they might not. It's going to be a team that sneak in there and surprise you. So, again, they're talking about Clemson, and Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, possibility Oregon, LSU, Florida, those teams up there that's nipping trying to get into that final four. All right, we're going to move to the historical black colleges and universities spotlight, and we want to talk about some sad news that came out and is heavy on my heart as well. Tavares Jackson, he's a former Alabama State University star. We're mourning the loss of him. He had a one-car wreck on Sunday night, and he was killed. Tavares, 36 years old. The SWAC is mourning him. Alabama State is mourning him. The Montgomery community is mourning him. And I'll just kind of share why it's heavy on my heart, because when I was a head football coach at Cloverdale Junior High School here in Montgomery, Alabama, Tavares played for Bellingham Junior High School, and we played against each other. So I coached against him. And then when I moved to the administrative role at one of the magnet schools, I actually was able to go and continue coaching. And I went to Cindy Lanier High School, where Tavares was there with Keldrick and Clayton Harris. So I had a chance to coach that young man. I was excited about having the opportunity, so it was headed. And every time I even saw him just recently, well, I said recently, during football season, I saw him. And we always carry on a little conversation. I always try to throw back some years of hard work he was doing to get supported him fully at Alabama State University when he transferred back to Alabama State University from the University of Arkansas. So, you know, our condolences to the family, to the community, Montgomery community, to Alabama State University, to the SWAC, and whoever had a personal tie with Tavares. We really, truly going to miss you. Rest in peace in heaven. And we truly, truly, you was a young man that worked hard. You was quite competitive, and you gave back to the community through the camps for the young men, disadvantaged young boys to be able to go to camps, football camps in the summer. And we're going to truly miss you, Tavares. We truly will. Next one we're going to talk about in regards to the SWAC. It's the MEAC as well. But I'm going to stick with the SWAC. This is a big shout-out for the SWAC because for the last 43 years, 42 of those years, Alabama State University have led the attendance. The individuals going to football games, five home games based on, for the football championship subdivision, not just for the SWAC, not just for the MEAC, but for the Big Sky, Big South, Mountain, West, and all those that played on that FCS status. SWAC have led it in attendance. The number one team out of all the teams this year was Jackson State University. This is for five games, average out attendance per game. Jackson State was number one with 33,762 attendance every the five home games at Jackson State University. A team that sits in Central Alabama, part of the SWAC, was number four, and that was Alabama State University. They averaged 17,000 per game, five home games. And number seven was Southern University. They averaged out 16,957. So those three schools led in the top eight of the FCS football championship subdivision in attendance. So we'll say hurrah to the SWAC. Now the MEAC was there, but they was 13. So, you know, those are, but it's been something happening for 42 seasons by the SWAC. So we applaud the leadership for the schools that make up, the universities that make up, the players, the families, the communities, the friends, for the hard work you're doing and showing for success. That's what we're talking about, excellent. All right, we're going to quickly move to the high school, and we have about 13 minutes. We're going to talk about the high school. Before I move forward, I want to holler at a couple of people. I see this here. I have one individual, and I'm so proud to have her on here. She's truly, truly one of my good friends, and we worked as cohorts. And just right before I retired, I was the career tech director for a school system, and she's a career tech director for another school system in Alabama. And we worked closely because it wasn't like a whole lot of us of the minority status within the career tech leadership. So we was glad to work together, and I was there for her, and she was there for me, none other than my good friend, Edna Richardson, out of South Alabama down there, and she had a birthday last week. And obviously, she's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I want to give you a shout-out, Edna. Thank you so much for the hard work that we all put in supporting each other and making sure we were successful in career tech in the state of Alabama. Some people say, why did that come? It's over 100-plus school systems, and all of them had career tech directors. And we probably had about 3 or 4% that was minority. And we made up that 3 or 4%. Those individuals might be a little bit more, might be 15%. I might be stretching it when I say, I'm going to come back and let me know in 1 minute. And you can see us in the room. So we were so glad to work there and make a difference in the career tech for the state of Alabama. And thank you, Edna, so much for joining us. Let's look at the Alabama High School Athletic Association dealing with football coaches. And I'm going to use Alabama because this is one of the articles that came out in one of the news wires the other day, and that was coaches facing a totally different summer in wake of pandemic. And if you're a football coach, which I was a high school football coach, that's your time to get those players and get them in the weight room, get them conditioned, work with them, spend some time with them. But you actually always had a spring to do that. In the spring, you could do that because you got them on campus. You know, school ended in March, and there was no spring training. You can't have any start on your summer workouts or any kind of workout or do anything until we get a handle on COVID-19. So what is going to be the difference? The difference is that a lot of the high school coaches won't be able to touch base. Now you can do anything you want through virtual learning. You can do anything you want through Zoom technology to make contact with them, but it's nothing like having them there. And you're talking about when you get to a high school level, you're a volunteer. Middle school, you volunteer. When you get to college, yeah, you volunteer, but you got a scholarship. You don't have that at high school. So it's going to be a big challenge. It's going to be a big change. Everybody's going to be behind the eight ball throughout the country. So no one will have an advantage, but there's going to be some teams have advantage because they have the Jimmy and the Joes. And you say, who's the Jimmy and the Joes? Those sometimes they have the best athletes. When they have the best athlete, you can have average coaching, but the best athlete, and you can be very successful. So that'll be the disadvantage, especially for some of those schools with new coaches who can't really work with them because you can't make contact with them. So this is going to be a change this summer for the coaches. When we get to August, it's going to be like March when you say spring training. So we'll see how this season is going to be a little. So this thing about responsibility, we may not have any fans up in the stands. Think about that with high school as well as college. So that's something we need to look at, and that's going to be some changes. Get your young people that want to be out there because they like playing in front of fans. Next thing we want to discuss, and we're getting close to the end of the hour, you have Georgia High School Athletic Association, new transfer rule. Not like Florida, and there's no reflection on Florida. If you're anybody from Florida, you might not feel comfortable. They have no eligibility rule. No more a student must be of age, meaning can't be 19 years old. But when we say a transfer rule, that is that dealing with eligibility, if you want to transfer from one school zone to another school zone, you just can't pick up and just go over there and play for that coach or play for that team over there without moving what they call a bona fide move. Georgia has implemented to make sure that to move and be eligible in another district, you have to make a bona fide move. And some people say, what are you talking about, coach? A bona fide move is that you and your parents have to move from the place you stay and move everything you have and move to the new zone, in a new house, a new place, a new apartment. You can't leave stuff and be going back and forth now, especially when you talk about when you get over there. Because once you get over there and get to playing, end of the year, meaning in the spring, you can move back. It won't affect them then. But the start of the first 20 days, all the way through that first semester, through that season, you can't move. So it has to be a bona fide move. Before, they was having some problems because a lot of people were recruiting. That's how coaches recruit. That's how booster clubs sometimes recruit players. That's the biggest challenge they talk about in the state of Florida. You know, you can go to school that you want to go to, but I know they have a zone because I know there's some kids with zone, and I was living in Sunrise, and kids were zone for Piper High School, and some left and went to other schools as well. So that's how they able to do it. I know that in South Florida, and it's like that in Northern Florida as well as East Florida as well. So that's one thing the state of Georgia is making sure the bona fide move is implemented to the point. If it's in place, it's checked. Now, that means like in the state of Alabama, who has the same rules in regards to that, actually they have an investigator with the High School Athletic Association to go to that home and say, you stand. If they go into the house, see anything that shows that you live in there, that young person will be ineligible to participate for 1 year. That's what one of the things they're looking at. Another thing they added was a transfer student who established eligibility at a former school grade 9 through 12 should be immediately eligible. Meaning that if I was in the state of Georgia, Meacham High School, I'm just using the high school, and I'm there and I'm eligible there, And if I move to another school, if I transfer to another school in that zone, yes, I'm by bona fide movement, but I'm also because I was eligible in the previous school. Just remember that. School start, we're playing football, and I'm out there playing, all of a sudden we have some kind of situation cause my family to move, have to move. So I will move with them into the new zone, and I'll still be eligible. That's another change to the Georgia High School Athletic Association new transfer rule. And C, a student athlete transfer from one school to another should be ruled ineligible for 1 year. I said that earlier because that's the way the state of Alabama is. And 1 year will be one academic term, meaning that if it's football, you're ineligible for football. 1 year, so you can come back next year and play football at that school, whether you stay in that zone. Because a lot of people move over there, sit out, meaning have their children sit out, or players sit out for the ninth grade year, because of 9 through 12, and then come back next year and stay in that same home, because we have a lot of them in the neighborhood I stay, they do want to go to a particular school. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking at that's going on, and that's Georgia making a change. Those three rules are so important for the success of their competitive program in the state of Georgia. Alabama have a similar set of three as well dealing with transfer. Last but not least, we want to talk about discussing, we want to discuss why parents are the best and worst recruiters for historical black colleges and universities. I'm going to tell you the experience or non-experience that they have can be positive and negative. What they hear might set the standards for whether they want their son or daughter to go to a historical black college or university. We can be positive for that university or we can be negative for the university. And I don't ever knock any parent that wants to send their son or daughter to a PWI. I have no problem. I'm for you. I want you to get the best education, and you have a choice when you get to college. But if you can see that they are not going to be successful and they have a better opportunity to be at that historical black college and university, I suggest you send them over there and let them play over there. Let them participate over there. That's my suggestion. But you can be the best recruiter or the worst recruiter. You can be the worst while you have negative comments, or you can be the best by making sure you say, even if your child didn't go there, you might recommend somebody else to go there or be positive, but don't be negative about the historical black colleges and universities. We're minorities fight a lot of things from day to day, and sometimes we don't need each other to tear us down. And that's happening. We'll tear each other. It's easy for us to do that, and we shouldn't do that. We must uplift each other, continue to grind, and keep doing what we need to do. It's been an awesome night. We had some awesome time. I hate my group didn't join me tonight, but, you know, sometimes I can wear it out myself running my mouth. So it's all good. It has been awesome. Like I said, I gave shout out to those people who have joined us through Facebook. And I do, again, appreciate each and every one of you all. Denise, Stephanie, I may have missed you. I may have saw you when you came in and I might have strolled across. Thank you, Denise Stephanie. She's out of Berkeley, California. She was on my early show. So I appreciate you joining, Denise. And she's the author and the founder of the Behind the Mass Ministry out of Berkeley, California. You can go to Facebook, Denise Stephanie, S-T-E-P-N-E-Y, and you can become friends and support what they're doing out there. Like I said, it's been awesome tonight. My hashtag always, and we know I'm down to probably got a minute to go. Looking at my time of 56 seconds, my hashtag is keep on grinding. I'm going to keep on grinding. We got an awesome show planned for tomorrow. That's why Greg come on. Tomorrow we got our Love Cafe tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be talking about long-lasting love. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Also on Tuesday, we have a show scheduled for the Dr. Lowe Show at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Tuesday, and it's going to be talking about mental health during the coronavirus COVID-19. We're going to have a guest, special guest on here, Lisa Levine. She'll be with us out of Boca Raton, Florida, and she was on our show previously. She's coming back. She did the holiday blues, and she's going to come back and talk about mental health during this coronavirus and COVID-19. That's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, the Dr. Low Show. It's been awesome. I do appreciate each and every one of y'all joining, but check us out tomorrow night. We're going to have a good show, and we want you to be a part of it. And that's the Love Cafe. It's been good to be here. My second hashtag is communicate for understanding. And my last thing I always share with you, and it's enough to get you excited, and we're going to crank it up. We don't own the rights to this song, but we want to make sure we play it and see if I had anybody else to add. Down here, we haven't had anybody else to add. I thank you for my frat brother, Brian Steele, saying awesome. Thank you. These brothers keep listening and be supportive. But this, we don't own the rights to this song, but we're going to play it. But I always tell you, and I want you to tell your family members this, call somebody. Call your friend, call your sovereign, call your brother, your sister, your cousin, your friend, your co-worker, and tell them that you love them and ain't a thing they can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll have you on here tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, the Love Cafe.
I like you, honey.
Come and shoot it. Back it up right over here.
You're my fire.
Confess your hips, your thighs, your lips.